Fellow speakers, ladies and gentlemen. Today I'm speaking about the sourcing and building of a skilled workforce for a major program. I guess almost as a byline to that, however, I see what ASC is doing at the moment is more than building a workforce for a major program. We're really building a workforce for an industry. We've moved beyond the point where we are just one program. For while the AWD program will be the highlight of what we do over the next 10 years, we at ASC will put as many man hours into submarines as we do into AWD. And before we complete AWD, the future submarine program will almost certainly go ahead and be far bigger than that program. So we see a future that spans not for the next 3 years or 5 years or even to the end of the AWD program towards 2020, but is in fact only reaching a midway point as we start future submarine towards 2020, delivering a first one in 2025, a sixth one maybe 2032, and into 20 to 25 years of through life support of that. So we can actually see generations of work, generations of employment ahead of us. So we aren't just skilling a major program. We're about putting in place the infrastructure to undertake a naval industry upon which this country will be critically dependent. I like those statistics that were just shown. Right at the start, you saw the growth, you saw our dependence on trade, and the importance of India, China and the US to this country. Well, most of the wealth that this country generates will go to those countries via large ships through the two most densely trafficked sea lanes of communication in the world. So what we do here in the naval industry will help ensure that over the next 20, 30, 40 and 50 years, those sea lanes of communication which underpin all of that growth that you just heard about will actually exist and that the growth can actually come to pass. But back to the most immediate thrust, skilling a major program. The winning of a billion-dollar shipbuilding program is one thing, but actually delivering it is another. There's an adage about the proof being in the pudding, and our pudding gets to be very large and needs to be baked just right. In May 2005, the federal government selected ASC, or more correctly, ASC AWD Shipbuilder, our special purpose vehicle for building the air warfare destroyer, as the preferred shipbuilder for that program, the Hobart class air warfare destroyer. Some 2 years later, in June 2007, this year, the government finally selected the Spanish F-100 class design as the platform design that we would build and integrate the US Aegis combat system along with our alliance partners, Raytheon Australia and the Commonwealth Government in the form of the Defence Materiel Organisation. The build of three, possibly four air warfare destroyers is a very large, if not monumental, undertaking. It will provide enormous opportunity for Australian shipbuilding and for South Australian industry in particular. I note that two studies completed following other major naval shipbuilding programs, both undertaken by the ASIL Tasman Economics Consultancy, showed that the state where the ship was built gained the lion's share of the flow down to industry. I think this, once again, will be the case, and a South Australian defence industry will benefit disproportionately from the AWD program, notwithstanding the fact that several other states will benefit significantly from what is an $8 billion program. All facets of our shipbuilding role require high skills, a number of them, be it in the engineering support, or trades training. Our current numbers of 1,100 will in fact more than double during the AWD program. And as I explained early, I think with other programs that we see, which are almost certain to follow, our numbers will continue to grow beyond that in future years. Building a workforce of this nature is not new territory to ASC. We've been in this position before. We did reasonably well as a greenfields business during the Collins submarine program. This time, we're both a green and a brownfield. We're a greenfield in that we are establishing a new business to build surface ships on a new site, albeit adjacent to our existing submarine yard. So it's a combination of green and brown, and hopefully we can bring together the best aspects of both rather than the worst. Starting from scratch, back in 1987, we developed a 1,200-person-plus workforce to undertake the Collins program. We expect that experience will benefit us with the AWD program. And many of the approaches we used then we will use again. However, I do note that the economic times are somewhat different now to what they were in 1987. Balanced against that, the defence industry in this state and this country is much more developed. The focus on developing high-end skills is also much more developed. So while there is more of a boom in the economy, I think there's more of an infrastructure in place for us to recruit, train and retain the people we need to deliver those ships. There are many challenges before us. The entire Australian economy, as you've just heard, is booming, and South Australia is in its own way booming. It poses, therefore, a bit of a challenge for us to overcome that problem. Another challenge is dealing with the increase in defence-related initiatives. More work for the defence industry in this state results in more competition for the skills and knowledge and experience that is required. Again, I think we'll be able to deal with this. One of the advantages that ASC has on both of these fronts, in competition with those who are employing within general industry, is while there is a general upsurge, strong demand, history shows in this country and most others in the advanced world that the iconic projects in a country attract the necessary individuals to deliver them. Engineers, engineering support staff, trades really like to work on something meaningful which brings great fulfilment to them. And the iconic projects do that. They also tend to be very long running, so you can see a career in front of you for many, many years into the future. I think this will give us a running start in that recruitment battle. An issue many South Australian companies face is also the renaissance of the resource industry in this state. You saw a graph just a few minutes ago showing the upswing in resource exploration and development in South Australia. This doesn't exactly come at an ideal time for ASC. However, I think in overall sense, it's good for the state, and it will further help develop the training and skills development, the educational infrastructure in this state. And while that may put a little pressure in some respects, I think it's good for ASC, particularly when I take a longer-term view, and I believe we'll be needing skilled tradesmen, skilled engineers and engineering support staff for 20, 30, 40 years. I think the overall strengthening of the state's economy is a good thing. We should also not forget about the ageing workforce. ASC has an interesting workforce profile. In an exaggerated sense, it's like a U rather than a mountain. We have a lot of older guys, we have a bit of a hole in the middle, and we have a lot of younger guys. There's reasons for that which aren't very good from a corporate planning perspective, but they occurred. We have them. We're seeking to address them, and to some degree we are. However, We will face challenges over the next 5 to 10 years dealing with in theory, a block obsolescence of employees problem. I think, however, we can convince many of those employees who have vast experience and relevant skills to our future to continue on, if not in full-time employment, at least in part-time employment, and to act as mentors to help guide the new people coming through. It's all very well to talk about all the skills programs that we will do, and I'll talk about that more in a few moments, what the government is doing to help us, which is very good. But at the end of the day, ultimately, no matter which training path people come through, they actually have to do real work within an organisation. And they have to be taught how to do work in our organisation using our processes and our procedures and to fit in with the way we do things. We're a large and complex organisation dealing with many complex issues, some of them safety critical, and we can't afford too much entrepreneurial spirit in certain areas. To grow an organisation in that environment, mentoring is extremely important. In fact, you can model the rate at which you can expand your organisation based on the number of available mentors with sufficient experience and how many, I hate this word, mentees, I'm not sure if it really is a word, how many mentees, if such a word exists, they can mentor. You really need to think about it, and we have been thinking about it for a few years, and we've been putting in place programs to ensure that we have the maximum number of mentors and able to bring more on in a timely fashion. Now we have opportunities, not just challenges. We have some industries in this state which are declining, and while the skill sets are not perfectly aligned to those that ASC needs, I think there are people with a willingness to work and a willingness to be cross-skilled and upskilled to fit the needs of the submarine and surface ship requirements that we'll have into the future. Both the federal and state governments are certainly focused on trades training and apprenticeships, an area which was not well supported for a while there, when there was too much focus on degrees and diplomas. We're returning more to a time of balance now. The state government has founded initiatives, self-paced apprenticeship programs, adult apprenticeships, and more focused and succinct upskilling and training initiatives. ASC is also lucky in some respects that the national publicity that the program has gained has meant that we have seen a lot of applicants come forth, very good applicants, even before we're really ready to hire. I think within 1 month of the announcement in 2005, we had 700 applicants, many of them very good. I think with the announcements that will come with the signing of the Phase 3 contract, which will occur just before the election, we'll see another round of aspirants come forward. So I'm quite confident we'll have the raw material, so to speak, to draw from. But it's still important that we capture the best and we give them the right training and fit them into our organisation such that they can be as productive as they possibly can. So in going about building this skilled workforce, we face some fundamental challenges to recruit, to attract and recruit employees. So I've said, I believe attraction, we're pretty lucky there. To actually recruit them, we still have to offer a balanced life and a set of rewards to people. We have to get it right. Salaries are one thing, and I think ASC can be competitive on that front, and I hope South Australia can be competitive on that front. What we won't do on that front is go out to seek to directly compete against the resources industry. There will always be those who will be happy to live away from the capital cities for short or prolonged time. Conversely, there will always be those who will be tired of that life and will come back to the city, who will want to be close to their children and family, wives and friends, on a more regular basis. And so we don't intend to go into a bidding war with the resources industry. We didn't during the submarine program and we won't now. And our research indicates that there will be sufficient in the pool who wish to remain city-bound, so to speak. But there are two other large elements in that job offer. One is lifestyle. I think we offer employees a pretty good lifestyle. And in particular, we have had great success recruiting from overseas into what I'll call lower and middle senior levels in the organisation. We still recruit quite heavily overseas. In the last 2 years, we've recruited more than 30 senior people into ASC. We do that for a number of reasons, which I won't go into. But the key point I wanted to make is how do we recruit them? Because there are good salaries and there are exciting projects overseas. Well, how we do it is very simple. ASC's job ad in the UK, which really infuriates the national submarine builder in the UK, they're conveniently in one location, which is a very cheap newspaper. It's actually much cheaper to recruit somebody in Barrow in the UK than it is to recruit them out of Sydney. Anyway, our ad is very simple. It has a picture of a beach. It has a, it's actually a close-up of the sand-water interface on the beach with a pair of thongs with an Australian flag painted on the thongs. And the caption simply goes, Aussie safety boots. We do have another one which involves a wave and five surfers on it going Aussie rush hour. And it's very simple. That's why people come to us in Australia. Not because we pay more than other submarine and ship builders in the Western world, not because we have bigger and better programs than in the UK or Sweden or others, but because we offer a better balance of lifestyle. And if you've ever been to Barrow in the UK, you know it's not much that we have to beat. The third element is career fulfilment. Unfortunately, and I speak here not from an economist perspective or a flat-earth rationalist, but from the perspective of an engineer, somebody who likes to actually build things, design things, there are only so many opportunities in this country to do things that are on both a world scale and of world class in the engineering profession. There are a few, but there aren't that many. And that which we do, particularly on the submarines, is that. And it offers engineers and scientists and tradesmen and engineering support staff alike a sense of achievement, of career value and pride in their profession, which few others can match. So I think that combination of lifestyle, fair salary and sense of achievement is a package that will be hard to resist. We'll also put in place the necessary training to support these people. We have a long list of things that we do. I'll just go through those quickly. I'm not going to say much about any in particular. Perhaps if there's areas of interest, people might ask a question later on. Obviously, an apprentice training program, we have 35 at the moment, but ramping up over 40 and beyond next year. We have an employee scholarship program, a graduate program with over 30 people on it at the moment. It's a two-year program, which includes the old-fashioned idea of putting engineers to work, if only for 3 months, down on the floor with the blue-collar workers. Once upon a time in the UK, you did a trade before you did your engineering degree. Well, we haven't reversed that, but we do like people to see that it's not all just finite element models and virtual reality design environments. You actually do produce something that's real at the end of the day. Mentoring programs, which are very important, and I talked about that earlier, certified project management and certified practicing engineering programs, traineeships in various specialist technician categories. Just one, for example, is non-destructive testing, where we find it difficult to get people with the right experience elsewhere. We're tied in with a number of TAFE courses on supervision, business management. We do a lot of internal training on workflow and process to ensure that employees do things the right way, relentlessly, not occasionally. Extensive and regular safety training. An important element of what we do is safety. We're very, very heavily focused on safety. Over the last 3 years, we've reduced our safety statistics from, I guess, numbers which I would call mediocre, and that means sitting at about the Australian average, to down in best practice category of less than 5 injuries, lost time injuries per million man hours. A lot of focus on industrial relations issues, and I think we've had a great success with that. Tied in heavily with that, a lot of communication to the workforce. We have an adult workforce who deserve to be treated that way. We do, and surprisingly they respond, be they white collar or blue collar, in an extremely positive fashion. Numerous skills enhancement programs and the development of some skills which in this country are not valued as much as they should be. For example, planning. The Australian industrial environment is, in my view, never valued planning sufficiently. Because if you go to the US, often people in very senior roles in the organisation have come through the planning and scheduling departments. We've done a lot of work to help develop and train people in that arena. We've established 2 master's degrees, both in conjunction with the Defence Material Organisation's SAIDI program, the first being an ASC-sponsored maritime engineering master's at the University of Adelaide, and the second one that we've done in conjunction with BAE Systems and Saab at the University of SA in systems integration. We focus a lot on leadership. We don't see leadership as just something that the MD does or my direct reports. There are leadership categories throughout the organisation, and we have over 200 people involved in a leadership program and a lot of teamwork development. I think this creates an entire environment where we build an organisation that people want to work at, and it's very important. You know, it is a small world. There's always somebody that you're wanting to employ that knows at least one person at ASC. So we need a good reputation as an employer. We didn't always have it, and we need to work hard not only to get it, but to keep it. Moving on. We do not only international recruitment. We have recruited fairly extensively from interstate, and we've been supported, or I might say we piggyback on the South Australian Government's Make the Move campaign on that front. We've got some good people and they've done some great work for us. However, I do note that our statistics show we have almost 100% success in keeping our international recruits. We don't have nearly as high a percentage in keeping our interstate recruits. Interstate recruits are more footloose and fancy-free than international recruits. Well, so the statistics tell us. Local recruits, however, do stay the distance very well also. So we're very pleased on that front. The Maritime Skills Centre, I think, is an important area to mention for us. Clearly, the state government has put a lot of effort into supporting ASC and the development of the maritime industry and the defence industry in this state. We are, in conjunction with the state government, or predominantly from a facilities perspective, the state government is funding the development of a Maritime Skills Centre, which will provide critical support for the development and training of skilled labour for ASC shipbuilding. The facility itself will be established adjacent to ASC in Osborne. It will train a local labour force in order to meet ASC's future demands specific to naval shipbuilding. It will meet the upskilling and cross-skilling training needs that we have for the AWD program and for programs beyond that in the future. It will also assist to meet the training needs of our alliance partners, our suppliers and subcontractors. The state government's generous investment in this scheme, we think, will be rewarded with increased employment and the success of the various programs. The MSC will be a facility in excess of 1,100 square metres. It will be managed by a general manager who will be seconded from ASC. The AWD classroom, based on our shipbuilding needs, will be predominantly at the MSC. It will deliver courses in a number of ways, traditional face-to-face classroom training, in both large and medium-sized classrooms, but also, importantly, a lot of video conferencing. We have access to Bath Ironworks, our capability partner in Bath, Maine, the builder of US air warfare destroyers, and that will enable us to deliver very specialised shipbuilding training specific to the needs of air warfare destroyers and the types of equipment that specifically go on those destroyers to our people here in South Australia, also supported by computer-based training and e-learning. The MSC will also tie into the TAFE SA system. Final area I'd like to talk about here today is retention. Currently, ASC's retention is running at about 8%, which in the current environment is pretty good. That's for all staff. For blue-collar employees, it's actually under 1%, almost too low, in fact. But I expect this will change. We have seen it move up over the last couple of years from in the order of 5%. Up to 8%. So we are suffering to a degree. It's not an alarming level. But we are taking a number of actions to ensure that we retain the people that we have. These are very important to me because as we grow the AWD program, I would expect that roughly 15% of the people involved, maybe as high as 20, but I wouldn't want to go any higher than that, 15 to 20% of the people involved in the AWD program would come from the submarine side of the business. So we will seed the destroyer program with people out of the submarine side of the business. This will give us a solid core of people who know how to do things the ASC way, who know how to take full advantage of all of the resources that ASC currently has. We will need to build around that seeded team the necessary experienced people who will come from around the world and around the country, not just locally, to create a very strong shipbuilding infrastructure. Then we'll be able to recruit the necessary labour in large numbers from locally and interstate to deliver the AWDs on budget and on schedule. So I think you will get the impression, hopefully, that our workforce recruitment and development plan our short-term and our long-term strategy are things that we're thinking about a lot. We have many, many small initiatives, which I'm not talking about today, for no other reason that I'd hate anybody to start countering them. But we have a very long-term plan to get the best people that we can for our business, to grow the business and ensure that we will be able to undertake the large and complex challenges that we have for the AWD program and beyond. Thank you.